This episode of Film Sack is brought to you in part by Michael Brannan and Stuart Williams. This episode is for you.
Django!
Django!
Oh, sh! Here comes trouble! This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack, the podcast that mines the depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Today is episode 57. I am Scott Johnson. Joining me tonight is Brian Coffin Puller Dunaway.
Hey, I'm kind of a big douche in this movie. I watched a group of Mexicans beat up a girl for a good 5 minutes before they decided to kill and save the damsel. You're welcome. Also, the opening credits have a lot of spelling errors.
Yes,
just saying.
A few. So does the name of the movie, actually, I think. I think there's a big
D-Jang-
old spell.
Oh, sorry.
D-Django. Also with us, sorry, I almost blew that. Randy Hamburger Hands Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. You know, I once briefly had a job cleaning up a graveyard. Did you know that? I hated having to tidy up bloody pistols. They always had the trigger guard broken off, so the resale value was crap.
Chewed off.
Yeah.
Well said. Also rounding us out today, Brian, the consumption hooker Ibbot.
Oh, wow. That is my name. Visit scenic Deadwood. You'll come for the massive silverware, but you'll stay for the mud wrestling.
Right? I love the mud wrestling.
Yeah.
That was hot. And my wife asked, she said, is this why Scott wanted you to watch this movie when that scene came on?
There was nothing else to do in this movie but mud wrestle.
Horse mud wrestling.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome if you ask me. I kind of thought that part was great.
You could not have it. I mean, there was the mud and there was the women. So, I mean,
yeah,
it was bound to happen.
Now, this is the part of the show where normally I'm prepared. Hold on, I'm going to edit this part. Trap. But enough from us. Let's let Scott Fletcher talk about Da Django.
Django.
Da Django.
Django.
I don't understand.
Django.
Django.
All right.
Django.
I'll let the whole thing play.
In a lawless frontier, a master gunman carries a dark secret and a coffin filled with chaos. Franco Nero stars as Django, a mysterious stranger caught up in the violent crossfire between Mexican bandits and sadistic vigilantes. This landmark classic is packed with indelible images and some of the most shocking brutality of any spaghetti western ever made. Fully restored from original camera negatives and available for a short time only from the Disney Vault.
What? Disney Vault?
Really? Wow, that's they cracked brilliant. Open the Disney Vault for this one, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Get it now before they put it in the vault.
That's weird.
I will have you know, I saw this movie on Blu-ray today.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
They had it at the
that's
Rogers.
Not even possible.
I rented it. No, I'm telling you, it's on Blu-ray. It was just released back in May. It's a brand new. Of course, no one's renting it, so it was brand new. Yeah. No one had looked at this disc.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was really amazing.
Well, that's the Disney Vault bit, right? Disney said, hey, check it out, Blu-ray, boom. Maybe not in that voice or any of those words, but still.
I don't understand how Disney would own this thing.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Did you watch the dubbed version or did you watch the subtitled version?
I tried, Brian. I tried so hard. To watch it in the original Italian because it fits the mouth movements.
Yeah,
but it makes even less sense if you're not catching a little English. You know.
Yeah, I liked it, but I liked the horrible dubbing. I thought that was half the reason I think the movie was all right. I kind of enjoyed it.
Hey, did you see the subtle one, Randy? Is that what you're saying?
No, he didn't.
I saw the dubbed. You can watch it in like five different ways on this Blu-ray.
Yeah, I was going to say you had the Blu-ray, so I was just wondering. Yeah.
I watched it with the dubbed English, so the you know, the American actors trying really, really hard to fit the sounds.
Yeah. Did you even check out the subtitle version so you could hear how he really sounded? You did?
Yes. And
how did
it was so much better. You know,
I believe it.
It just sounds realistic. It matches up with how they look, you know?
Yeah. Well, I just imagine Django having like this kind of whispery, raspy voice, and they have like this American actor who's like, I'm Django. What's in the box? Django.
No, it was more, that didn't fit because the actual actor was speaking Italian and he sounds like Italian. He sounds like you're at an Italian restaurant, but I mean,
it's a me, Django.
I'm sorry to say, but it fit. It didn't look right, but it fit.
Huh. Yeah.
Okay. So did the rest of the soundtrack is also exposed that way, right? Because the way they did dubbing back in the day is if you're going to dub all these voices, you also, because you didn't have a way to separate them by track, you had to dub everything.
So, oh, right. Right. So, and you have, so there's all these people standing around microphones during like gun battles making funny noises.
Yeah.
Ooh, exactly.
All at the same volume level. They could be across the field getting shot and they're still.
I know. It was great. It was like, my friend Django, and he's way across the room. And by the way, we're going to keep saying Django this entire episode.
I might even break into calling him DJ Ango.
Whoa. I don't know if we can handle that.
I just want to call him Django.
Django. Oh,
can we get right to the, I know you got a clip of that.
Oh, of course, of course. I ain't playing that yet, though. You got to wait. You got to hold your horses.
The thing about this movie for Film Sack is we can't help but spoil the entire film on Film Sack. There's only one real secret.
we gotta
spoil it right off the top, you know.
And oddly enough, there are some things in this movie that our good friend Quentin Tarantino claims he stole right from this movie, and we'll talk about those in a minute. One of them is that big reveal, although in Pulp Fiction he never revealed it, but kind of stole that idea. So directed by Sergio Corbucci. Corbucci, not Gore. Corbucci, or is it Corbucci? Anyway.
Corbucci?
He wrote and directed the film. There's his brother Bruno.
All by himself?
Well, his brother Bruno helped out.
Yeah.
So that's all good. Film starred people like Franco Nero as Django, Jose Bilaldo as General Hugo Rodriguez. The names go on. None of them are recognizable. You don't know these people.
No,
it's funny. The Maria looked a little familiar, like we'd seen her in something else, or I'd
like
seen her
Bonanza
something
or something.
Maybe,
you know, Wild Wild West or something like that.
Yeah, she told us like she was like probably around that kind of era.
I've seen her in like a Macy's wearing clothes that you're supposed to buy. That's about the acting we got out of this chick. A lot of staring around.
Hey, she never said anything for like the first 15 minutes, which I love.
The whole movie, she barely said a word.
Which is good because when they finally did have her speak, apparently they couldn't find any female dubbers left, so they used a man.
I sound like a man. I captured that.
Django, you want to make out?
Hey.
You make me feel like a real woman.
Oh, so there's lots of moments like that for me in the dubbing, which I loved about the film. I'm going to say right up front, this 1969 spaghetti Western classic, and you could almost argue this is the beginning of the spaghetti Westerns. I'm sure there are other movies that aren't.
This is a 66 film, by the way, 1966.
Yeah. Oh, it says 69 in Netflix. What the poop? Jerks.
I don't know.
Right. I think
I'm looking at the box.
Weird. Yeah, I think it's 66.
Maybe 66 and then got over here then, and they finally got the dubbing done.
That's right. Yeah,
it took them to do the dubbing.
People kept leaving the work. You know, I'm not going to do this job. Are you kidding?
There's not much trivia in this movie except to say a couple of things. The film spawned hundreds of unofficial sequels, and I saw a few of these while I was hunting around. Some were incorrectly titled Django or Django and were only titled so to cash in on the original. The film was so popular in Germany. Oh, the Germans. Once again with the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
I love Germans. The film was so popular in Germany that almost every Franco Nero Western there bears the name Django somewhere.
Really?
The title. Yeah. Weird.
Nice.
Right?
It's there has to be a lot more trivia about this movie. It's just too quirky.
Well, there's a body count of 138 people. How about that? That's pretty good.
That's
excellent.
There's a trend, by the way.
Thank you for determining that.
There's a trend on IMDb of people putting body counts in action movies, which I am in full support of. I think that's great. So 138 fake Mexicans died in the making of this film.
And every one of them got a scene of them standing up and falling down. There was no like shots from everybody. Was always just falling down.
Yeah, there was
and
one
they all
scene.
Throw their hands up in the air too.
Exactly.
Like, bang! Whoa!
There was one scene where it's like they went back and put this scene into the film. Like, we haven't killed enough Mexicans, so we're gonna have the bad guy hunting them for sport.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And he's just hanging out in a duck blind, and they're releasing Mexicans one at a time, and he's just shooting them in the back as they run across the plains.
I wonder if they had like a little on set seminar on how to die properly and all that during this movie. I wonder if that. No, maybe.
Yes.
Come on, Brian. Didn't you go up in the hills of South Carolina as a kid and shoot clay Mexicans?
They had a diagram, a 3-step diagram. Bang, arms up in the air.
Yeah, and even if you're sitting or squatting near a thing and you get shot, you leap into the air and throw your arms up and go, ah, and then fall.
Jump off your horse, yeah, whatever.
Oh, I loved it.
Just so
release the Mexican!
So we're not misinformed. There are equal opportunity killings in this movie. At least 50 white guys die. At least.
Yeah. Easily. But they all had red masks on.
And it's so really
I don't think they were white. Exactly. Exactly. I think they played.
They're white enough.
It. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We need the whitest Italians we can find. Yeah. Put them some mask on.
Exactly. Okay. Perfect. But that being said, guy who plays Franco Nero, who plays Django, I thought kind of had a cool look about him. Like he looked pretty gritty and cool.
He's very dirty.
The guy that got to do his voice in the American dubbing, I think, kind of tried to sound like Clint Eastwood a little bit. There was an attempt there. And there were a couple of moments where you're like, oh my gosh, come on, you guys. That's like it's such a bad impression that it's actually kind of a good impression.
Yeah.
And
he looked so much like Johnny Ringo from Tombstone that I wondered if Johnny Ringo was a casting attempt to look like him.
Oh, that's a good question. I wonder.
Like, precisely. You know, Michael Biehn, the guy who plays Kyle in Terminator.
Yeah, yeah.
Johnny Ringo from Tombstone. This guy, the lead in Django, looks just like him. Oh, yeah. But vice versa, right? You can't, I mean, you know. Yeah. 30 years.
Oh, here's some trivia about the movie. It took him like 30 minutes to get that coffin down from that from the upper room.
Oh my god, that was just the most long drawn out scene.
Yeah,
but that scene had the most potential because they were cutting back and forth between him moving the coffin and his horror friend getting undressed, and some people watching her get undressed. And you can't help but think she's going to continue until she's got no more clothes. No, she never actually gets all her clothes off, and yet she spends 20 minutes taking clothes off.
Yeah. So much so that the dudes in the street finally get bored.
Yeah.
Go back to play.
All right, let's look back at the fire.
There's like 16 corsets, 5 lace things. It's a very different time. You got to understand it was the old West in Italy.
And of course, it's a beautiful woman. So all of us are sitting at home going, this scene is getting good, you know, and they never get there.
It never really got good. And I like that you referred to her as Django's horror friend. That was awesome.
Well, he gets to choose which horror he's going to take as distraction, you know. So
he takes the most Indian looking one, who wasn't really Indian at all.
That's the other thing is
there was a real attempt in the film, and this probably came off just fine in the way that like old 40s 50s movies where we would cast Native Americans as, you know, white guys with bad makeup, right?
Yeah.
And we would kind of, that would pass for the time. Like, it's okay, fine. And that's kind of what you got used to. The authenticity of it was never really at issue. I wonder if, like, in, you know, Italian cinemas, they're all sitting around going, oh yes, this is a very exotic version of the old West in America. And really, you know, like the costumes struck me as very Italian-esque. Like, that's even
like all the pink.
Yeah, maybe all the pink.
All the pink. The Rangers. Yeah,
and the gypsy wagons.
That burlesque kind of look they had going on. Nice.
Very. It was very. Very Italian. Maybe even a little French. Some of it.
Yep.
The film had a surprisingly consistent color palette for being a '60s movie. I usually think of color palettes coming around later.
Yeah.
And there was no green in the movie whatsoever. Yeah.
I picked that up too.
There was never, very, you know, muddy. There weren't what you would now see, like when you watch Deadwood, Tombstone, whatever, which is everyone wearing black. That wasn't the case, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it was very interesting that way. Somebody actually was thinking about it instead of all the different prostitutes wearing completely different costumes. They actually all looked like they were pulling out of the same closet.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, to address that also, the look of the film when they're in the city, when they're in the town.
Hold on a minute. Let me ponder on that.
When they're in the city where the hoes are, they were in the little town they were in. It must have been right over the horizon. It must only could have had part of a set or something, or I don't know what was built. It looked very authentic. But I noticed they kept doing worm's eye views because they didn't want to have what was over the other hill because they didn't want to show what was going on past that.
Right. It was that set was smaller than Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
What's the name of the town?
Django.
No.
According to Django, he calls everything else Django. Django. What's in the coffin,
I
Django?
I came to Django to bury Django. Rock Ridge.
It was Rock Ridge and Blazing. Rock Ridge is three times as big as this town.
Yeah.
I agree.
I thought it looked fabulous, though, man. Whoever did the sets, I mean, did a fantastic job. I bought totally into that.
Grimy, gritty, I think probably different for that time period. But that's what I was most struck with the movie. Besides the cheese ball, everything else, there's like a real sense of like just gritty, hard, you know, stuff. Old, you know, as weird as their version of the Old West often is in spaghetti westerns, it was a very hard edge kind of thing. And having that mud everywhere just added to like the...
Except on the floor of the bar where they spent most of their time.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. For some reason, they're tracking the mud around stops right at the door.
Take off your boots.
I tell you what, Django cannot fight. It is a good thing he can shoot a gun.
Yeah, the scene was where he's getting the coffin down from the building, the fight scene was even longer because it's like hit, miss, miss, hit. Miss.
Yeah. He's a total glass cannon. He's a range DPSer, and if he's not at range, he's in deep crap.
Yeah, the fight in the bar, I don't know what to say about it. It was really weird and frenetic, like a different feel than most fights.
Yeah,
and that's a style thing, I guess. I don't know, but it was really kind of cool. Like it was visceral and weird. You know
camera work too.
Yeah.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the fist fighting in Pineapple Express. For some reason, it was that bad. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like in Pineapple Express, they're supposed to look like they're completely stoned while they're fighting.
Yeah. Well, I felt like that too, but I felt like they stayed on the actors longer in this fight scene, which is one of the things I hate about fight scenes in modern movies is lots of times they want to make you feel like you're actually in the fight. And as a result, they make a lot of quick cuts.
Yeah.
And it can get nauseating after a while.
It's the only complaint I have about Christopher Nolan. Actually, I don't like the way he has Batman fighting. It's too rough cut and hard to see. And I don't know what just happened. And I understand it's supposed to be dark and he's the Batman and blah, blah, blah. But when he's getting brutal and down, you can't tell what the crap's going on. And in this movie, it was like the opposite of that. It's like, all right, we're going to track this whole effing thing.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool.
I actually liked the fight scene, but it did really made me think, man, Django cannot fight. This dude is to be the hero. a wuss.
They asked the actors to stage fighting. They didn't train him anything. They didn't give him any instructions. You guys just have a fight here.
That is kind of what it felt like. Maybe that was it. Non-choreographed fight scene has a very different feel to me. And if that's what they were doing, that's probably responsible for it. My viewing of the movie was super compressed. Like, I don't know what the hell was going on with you Netflix the other night, but it looked like crap. So I had to keep reloading it.
Even at HD, there's a lot of pixelation. Whoever converted the movie probably thought, no one's ever going to watch this.
Bad conversion, yeah.
Yeah. Did you also have it breaking several times and rebuffering and stuff?
Yes. I think that's not the movie. I've had people on Twitter say the same thing. Oh, I had all this trouble. And I'm starting to think that maybe they had a weird conversion with this one. I mean, Randy must have been in heaven freaking Blu-ray to Django.
You know what, though? You know what? Better to watch on the laptop because the total aspect ratio, like the total what's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, the aspect ratio.
The total resolution of the film was not as high as I wanted it to be.
Mm. Yeah.
It was like they took a thousand lines of resolution and scaled it up to 1920.
Oh, so it might have been a bad film. That's what I was thinking when you saw it on Blu-ray. I'm like, okay, I wonder if they really got some good film off that because this movie's been around for a while.
Well, it's a Disney vault, Brian. Disney vault.
No, I'm sorry. Yes, protecting the Disney vault. Whatever.
They bring that out in there. They're incredible scientists do it.
Nothing. It was Scott Fletcher's.
What is it? What?
It's just Scott Fletcher's humor.
What happened? I missed it.
It didn't come out of the Disney vault.
The Disney vault.
Oh, was he just kidding around?
He's just kidding.
I thought that was it's in the Netflix thing, I think.
Is it really?
I think so. I think it's in the description, dude.
Yes,
I think it's in the description.
This is a movie that starts with a with Django walking across the desert, dragging a child-sized coffin through the mud.
Yeah, I love
that. And then in the first scene, he saves a prostitute from a bunch of guys by killing them, and then saves her from another bunch of guys by killing them.
Yeah.
That is a Disney film, if I've ever heard
of it. All right, let me tell you what this says here.
There is no mention of
that. Oh, he did make it up. Fletcher got me.
He's going to love that.
Damn it,
he's
going to
eat it up.
Nice job. Totally got me. All right. Do you know what it's time for? It's time for one of these right here. First trope of the day. Why is there always a bad guy named Ringo in every Western? Oh, man. Did this movie
and
start that?
The Red Sashes.
The Red Sashes. Now, okay, I had a question about the Red Sashes. Do you suppose, like, one of the bits of trivia was Quentin Tarantino said he got the idea for slicing the ear off and sticking it at the dude's mouth. He used that in Reservoir Dogs, except for the mouth part, I think.
I love how when that guy is eating that ear, I mean, they didn't force him to open his mouth or anything.
He was trying to
eat a circus peanut or something.
And for those of you who haven't seen this movie, that guy has a real big hang-up, almost a fetish, with cutting people's ears off. He must mention it 5 more times.
Yeah, that's right.
Totally does. And it's just funny to watch him kind of eagerly eat his ear. But I felt like that was, you know, I mean, like the director's, I want you to eat his ear like it's a circus peanut. But in different scenes in the movie, there was a lot of that same kind of energy about things, like the getting shot and jumping up and, you know, making a big deal out of it. There's a clip I have later of a guy who gets shot, and he's actually crawling up near Django and the chick.
Yeah.
And he shoots him, and the guy literally kind of does like almost like a synchronized dance move.
Yes.
And then dives like off into the dives off into the quicksand. So there's a weird deliberateness to those movements that must have been the style or the thing or the something. You know,
Can we refer to the red guys from now on? Can we refer to them as the Red Scarf Bandits? Because that's what I kept calling them.
The Red Scarf Bandits?
Yeah.
Well, they were
pretty classy, styly.
Do you suppose Tombstone, did the Cowboys in the Tombstone story, was that a real thing that they all had scarves and stuff?
It must be, and we'd have to consult like Louis L'Amour or something, but it must be, because this is at least the fourth film I've seen with that many red scarves to make a gang out of it.
All right. One of my biggest problems with the film is how honestly effective could it be? If you've got a big gun to move around, is a coffin the best way to do it?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
May not especially, be the best way, but the coolest.
Especially when he's hauling it down from the roof of the building. I mean, I know he's got to get something to get the gold in, but still, holy cow, if you're going to be just...
Didn't he have a bag already? Didn't they bring it in a bag? Couldn't he just gotten the bag again? I mean,
yeah,
I would just
the bag
say
was still sitting
the
in there.
Yeah, I don't understand that. That was
machine
really
gun
weird.
Caused him nothing but trouble later on. Just...
Yeah.
Whatever. And can we talk about the machine gun for a second?
Yeah, sure. Okay. It wasn't authentic.
Would you explain why we're talking about the machine gun?
Okay. First of all, we've talked about the coffin. This may be this may be a spoiler, but the coffin he is carrying has a machine gun, and
it's not. It's also a trope, by the way.
Yeah. Totally.
Right.
Totally.
I mean, this is in a lot of movies where somebody has some secret baggage and it turns out to be the weapon to murder everybody with.
Yeah, it's an early example of that, and there's certainly earlier examples than this, but just so people understand and get the clear picture, he's dragging his coffin around. He won't tell anyone what's in it. If anyone gets near it, he gets pissed and shoots him or whatever. Finally comes this big confrontation with a whole bunch of dudes, and he reveals that in this coffin is a big Gatling gun that looks like nothing that existed in the West.
That's right. It's only about 30 minutes into the movie, so it's not the end spoiler. Yeah. You know, there's no big, yeah.
But okay.
Right, Brian, Dunaway, go.
Yeah, I totally have a problem with that. I mean, if you've ever seen any movie with a machine gun in it, you know machine guns get hot. If you ever play any video games, you know that machine guns get hot.
Right.
This thing, they're just touching and kissing and rubbing on it every time they get through shooting it, and I'm like, no way, dude. No way.
Right. Didn't we learn in The Outsiders that even small guns were called heaters because they got all hot?
Yeah.
I learned in video games that those things have a 5-minute cooldown.
Yeah. Did Brian Dunaway just say these words?
Just like, don't do it.
If I learned anything from video games, it's that machine guns get hot.
Right, there were several things said, so it was all Scott's fault.
Yeah,
that's all
fault.
That's all I heard. And then it went broop.
Folks, we're back. The internet took a poop. You guys said stuff while I lost you there, and I feel bad that it's probably lost forever to the ether, but were there any significant points that we should retread now?
I think The Django is in the coffin. That's the last thing we learned. Did y'all get confused when he said that?
Yes.
Somebody asked him, they says, look right at him and go, what's in the coffin? He goes, Django.
Was he talking about his gun?
I don't know. Maybe it calls him Little Django. I don't know.
There's this real esoteric thing that he's doing where he's trying to put his past behind him, and he's named, he's given his past his own name, and the gun goes with it somehow, and so it's in the coffin, and oh my gosh, stop. Just kill people.
Yeah.
Because he used to be a, he used to work, what was he with, like the North or something?
Yeah, but he fought for the North, he said.
Yeah, he fought for the North. Still had the same pants from the North. That's why he still had
the yellow tracksuit.
Exactly, the yellow tracksuit from the North they had during the Civil War.
Right, good, and it looked stupid as hell. That shouldn't have been his pants. Because everything else was great. Gritty overcoat, cool hat. He had the rest of the stuff down, man. But the minute he pulled out those pants, I was like, oh, okay, you're like grandpa at the mall on Saturday jogging before they open. Anyway, I have another trope for everybody. Why is it always an ugly squatty dude that runs the whorehouse in Westerns?
Always. It's the most troll ogre looking guy.
Totally.
And he's got the management of these incredibly hot women. They're way too hot to be prostitutes in the 19th century. Ridiculous hot.
You saw hot ones? All I saw was Maria. She was okay.
She was pretty. She was all right until she talked. Yeah. Well, Django, I
relative
think we
to what they should have been.
Django, what's in the box, Django?
It wasn't quite that bad, but you'll hear what we're saying here in a minute. This movie made me want to go watch Quick and the Dead again, which I have on DVD. It reminded me that, or it showed me that Quick and the Dead by Sam Raimi, 1994-95, made a movie that was, unbeknownst to me, was a nod to these spaghetti westerns and their themes. And it's awesome. If you haven't seen Quick and the Dead, it's great. Oh my gosh, it's great.
Were they trying to say during the movie that sometimes they called a coffin a burial suit? Or did he think that, was it Anderson? What was his name?
Major
general, whatever. Yeah, the general, whatever.
No, not the general, but the other guy kept saying, was he general? No, I thought it was the red scarf bandit leader.
He's the major, but I don't remember if he had a name. Do you have a name?
Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's call him Ringo.
Ringo.
Everybody's going to call Ringo.
Let's call him Boba.
So the head dude of the red scarf bandits.
You know, Major Fett, right? Yeah.
Yeah, right. So when he kept calling it his burial suit,
mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought your burial suit.
We want to leave you for the vultures.
Yeah, yeah. I don't get that.
Proud of himself for figuring that out too.
It seems like a weird idea that you would refer to a coffin as a burial suit, but maybe that was the thing to do in 1865 or something,
or in spaghetti westerns, whatever.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps indeed. Moving on to mentioned Quick and the Dead.
You have time for another trope?
Yeah, I got a trope. You want to do a trope? I got two tropes. Let me give you this one. I'll give you one and then you give me one. You ready?
All right.
Trope number one. Break
it's
the
ball. It's a trope off.
It's a trope-a-thon. Break the bottle and use it as a weapon in a bar fight.
That was pretty good.
Every Western must do this. There's some law somewhere, some Screen Actors Guild, byline that says you have to do it. And they did it.
They got so many they got to sell. Those are candy glass, and they got so many they got to break and sell,
Brian, I have something better for your trope than just that sound. You ready?
Okay.
This is for your trope.
Doom, 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 doom.
Scott Fletcher says go.
Wow.
Wow.
Hey, what's up with shirts in movies, man? They rip off so easy.
That's true.
Like, and the, like,
every time,
and even when they're trying, like at the beginning, the woman is getting torn up, and they walk up to her and they just barely touch her, and her clothes just peel.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do that? Have you ever tried to rip a shirt?
Yeah. Yeah. I was a kid when Hulk Hogan was a big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
And I tried and tried, and I was pretty strong when I was 14. I was probably stronger at 14 than I am now. Yeah. And that was hard. Hulk Hogan was cheating.
I have a confession to make. When I was 17 years old, I got this crazy notion and went on a hunt to find tearaway pants.
Nice.
You know, the kind where you just
for your stripper career.
Totally.
Exactly.
Totally. I thought they were so cool, but it never occurred to me that, oh, this will be associated with stripping like Chippendales or something. I just thought it would be cool to just go yank
like you're working out at the, you know, like you're playing basketball with the guys. You go to hit the showers, and they're all pulling their pants down like a normal guy, and you just rip yours off.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I'm in the game. That's what I'm saying. That'd just be cool. And you know, you see joggers and stuff. They're not joggers, but like runners, track dudes will do it.
Yeah.
So they'll get out there and kind of warm up for a second. Then I used to think that was great, but I did. I had no idea.
Professional athletes who have to hurry.
Yeah. I just had no connection to the stripper thing at the time, or I would have never even gone to look for him. I never found him, by the way. I could have.
Where do you shop for something like that?
This is a dumb 17. I'll bet I could go to like Dick's Sporting Goods or whatever.
Let's see.
Oh, sure, for the sporting good version, sure.
Yeah. But I could find them there. But as a kid, I was like, I don't know where to go. So we went downtown and just like, do you guys have pants that you just like yank off and have them not, you know, rip or whatever?
Oh, they got a WikiHow on how to rip your pants away in 4 easy steps.
Nice. Huh. This is the beauty of life as we know it. I thought the movie had some...
If only Dirty Harry had a set of pants like that.
Oh, Dirty Harry.
I'm going to go buy a cheap pair of sweats and completely, and a bunch of Velcro,
yes,
and completely reconfigure them so that I can go to the gym, get on the treadmill, walk into the men's room and just rip them off. That is like the coolest thing ever.
It reminds me now of who does that on Jackass? Chris Pontius does this.
Chris Pontius, yes, with his party boy character.
Yeah, totally. So you could be that guy with a big old thong up your butt and all that.
Yeah, that's funny. They actually say this is how you do it. They tell you to cut the pants, and the last thing is apply permanent adhesive Velcro dots to the seams where the threading used to be. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Dude, nice. I'll make my own.
I'll make my own. Screw you guys.
Yeah, F this. I'm not going to go find him. I'm going to make him.
You need to carry around a little radio that you can press play and you go.
Does somebody order a pizza?
That sounded either. I know that was supposed to be techno.
And a dong.
A
jingle.
Did anyone order a dong?
Django.
All right.
I can see you. Okay.
So you guys want to hear some singing?
I want to hear that opening theme.
All right. Well, here's our clips. Let's start with the opening theme.
Elvis.
Here it is. Because it was like a gospel Elvis.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
When he was all into that stuff. So here's what this sounded like.
Have you always been alone?
Django,
have you never loved again? Love will live on.
Oh, I can barely stand it.
Love that.
I think more movies need to have sung title character names. Like,
well, it
Aaron
tells
Brock
part of the story.
You're defending the cigarette victims.
No, what you're asking for then, Ibbot, is all movies should do that, but they should use this as the basis for
this,
it.
The same song, yes.
Oh, that's great.
I love it. I think because it told part of the story. I mean, you already knew what was going on. I liked it.
Anakin, you're trying to be a good Jedi.
Vader, yeah, something.
Well, and you plant and by putting this song in this movie, you plant a seed forever for people like Rob Zombie or Glenn Danzig to dig up later, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Man, that opening hook needs to be in a remix somewhere. Somebody needs to do something with that.
Django. I got the whole thing. I capped the entire song.
Little thing. That is awesome.
Yeah, you can have the whole thing if you want.
Bring it.
Do with it as you wish. Moving on to this Mexican is going to give you a taste, muchacha. This is the worst accent in the movie. But check it out. This is early on in the movie where everyone's dressed like a mariachi band and they've got the girl. And here it is.
This will give you just a taste. What'll happen if you try to escape from us another time? So I guess you won't try it again now, will you, muchacha? Here. This whip will teach you a lesson.
Ow, dude, ow.
Yeah, yeah. So let's Django, why don't you stand on the hill and watch him do that for about 5 minutes before you do anything?
Right. Yeah, he was just kind of hovering over there, not doing jack. And finally stepped into the end after they whipped her 10 times.
Which is why, even as an antihero, I had a hard time growing to care about him at all. Because he seems like he's not surveying. He's not getting the distance and figuring out how he's going to shoot these guys. He almost seems ambivalent to the fact that they are torturing a woman.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's like, oh, man, I'm going to need to use that bridge. These guys are taking too long on there. And
yep.
All right, I'm going to have to – all right, I got to step in. I got to clear them off. And if that means saving the woman, then fine.
I prefer your rewrite of the script that you just
did.
Yeah,
I like it. He's kind of a dick.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick. He's kind of a dick.
Django, he's kind of a dick.
Film Sack. Django. We should do a new Film Sack theme. I think that'd work pretty good.
Oh,
however, Django all of a sudden wins my admiration by being the most magical gunslinger I've ever seen on film.
Yeah, for sure.
This guy has one gun and six bullets and kills like eight people. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Although eventually
138. Three of them standing behind him too.
Yeah. I actually thought the bar scene where he took out all those henchmen, that was awesome.
I know what you think, Punk. Did I shoot 12 bullets or just six?
Yeah. Well, do you, Punk?
Right, but again, in the bar scene, he's using that one six shooter. He doesn't have a second gun. Come on. You got to have a backup gun if you're him.
Well,
whatever.
He does in the coffin, but. It's too early for him to bring that one out.
He is actually while he's dropping the hammer multiple times, he's actually reloading at the same time.
Mm.
I slowed it down.
Oh yeah, my God.
You guys want to hear my new ringtone? Try here.
Django!
Django!
That's it.
I love it.
And then it just repeats.
You know, we're talking this movie up so much. This movie really sucked.
No, it didn't suck. It's okay. It's okay.
Make sure that's the ringtone when Tom Merritt calls you, since his dog is named Django.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I said, dude, I think I found the inspiration. And he's always said it was that stupid Attack of the Clones movie. And I said, no, it's Da Django. You need to put a D in front of your dog's name. What are you doing over there?
That's right.
Anyway.
D is for dog.
D is exactly. For dog indeed. All right, well, the Mexican gave us a taste. Now we learn that burning is better than beating.
You can relax for a minute till we build a fire into that cross with you on top of it. Did you have fun with the Mexicans?
Burning's a lot better than getting beaten to death.
Yeah, good advice.
Sure is. Wait a minute. No, it's not. Burning hurts like hell.
And that there's no way we're getting this frame of a woman up on that tiny stick cross we're making over there.
Tying with a red sash.
Yeah.
That was pretty sweet.
Yeah. So they were basically just going to kill her because the Mexicans had her for a little while. And
yeah, they didn't finish the job. That none of that made sense to me. Yeah.
No.
And who builds a bridge next to quicksand? I mean, really?
Well, over it, right?
Well, you have to build a bridge over quicksand, right? Yeah. That's pretty much.
Yeah, you got to do that.
You just got to make sure that you're not building it in the quicksand so that your bridge sinks.
That bridge was the most useless bridge I've ever seen. I don't understand why I had to take it. Oh, I got to take the bridge. What are you talking about? It's only like 2 feet off the ground. You could just walk around it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
What are you doing?
And yet another horrible use of quicksand. I realize it's much later in the film, but they return to the quicksand so they can lose something in it. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. Just go get a shovel, Django. Like, just calm down.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
The bottomless pit. I mean, go get a shovel.
It goes to China.
There's like 50 Mexicans that show up and they go, screw that gold. Let's just go get some more.
Yeah.
They didn't even bother digging it up.
Was that what went down there? Was the gold?
Gold dirt, by the way.
Yeah. No, I was going to call it gold Cap'n Crunch is what I was going to call it. But wait a minute. Why? So that sunk. I didn't even think about that. That sunk there. Well, I guess it worked on me. I was like, oh, we can't get gold out of quicksand. There's no way we're done with that now.
Quicksand's not as bad as people.
I don't know.
Quicksand is kind of like Zod from Superman 2. It's not really as bad as you think. You know, it's just not.
Well, all right. I don't know how to. I can't fight that logic. Yeah. In fact,
kneel before Zod.
That's right. Don't be forgetting.
I need to do some exercises. Help me out here.
Allow me to kneel before Zod. All right. Up next, let's meet the hero. Finally, this is him talking. 45 seconds, a long one.
Are you here to bury the dead, huh? Then you're in business, and here's your first customers.
Whatever I'm doing here is none of your business.
Careful, mister. From the way you talk, I get the idea you want to be helped into that box you're lugging around.
Could be.
You're a Yankee, ain't you?
I've fought for the North.
We don't take much to folks who fought for the North. Get the idea?
Yeah, I get the idea. Yeah. What the hell are we worrying about him for? Let's finish the girl off. A woman shouldn't be treated in that way.
What's that you said?
It's not important. If I bothered you, will you accept my apology?
See, a lot of times, and Randy kind of made, he hinted at this at the beginning, a lot of times, I mean, all they're doing back in the day when they did this dub over stuff, where it's trying to make dialogue that adhered somewhat to the story, but more closely adhered to the lip movements of the character talking.
Exactly. And that, I just realized that guy sounds like Bruce Campbell. I didn't realize it until I heard it just now.
It kind of does, yeah.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah, it kind of, to me, it sounds like a really bad Clint Eastwood voice. Mm. You're talking about the guy who was saying, "What's that you said, mister?" Or the dude.
No. Django. What are you talking about? It's Django.
I was like, I don't know who the other guy just sounds like. Well, here's a little bit of him.
Are you here to bury the dead, huh?
Yeah.
That sounds like John Wayne.
You're right. It does sound like a John Wayne impersonation at the same exact level that the singer sounds like an Elvis impersonation. Yes,
exactly. Everyone's at the same level in this movie. Bad Clint Eastwood. Bad everything else. Paying for Protection is the title of the clip that I don't recall what it means.
Oh,
here it is.
It wouldn't make sense for you to cheat me now, would it? You're paying me so that you and your ladies will have protection. Just see that you get the rest of the money to me within a week at Fort Chiriba, comprendes?
I certainly will, Major, if it's the last thing I do. You can count on it. Thank you, Major.
Yeah.
I think we can buy our own condoms. Thanks. Anyway, condom salesman. We got our own protection.
Comprendus.
Got our own protection.
Comprendus. But is that the way
to
say
like
that?
They, yeah. Do you like how they comprend it? Do you like how they show you this big, you know, one of the Major's henchmen is the Scarface, snaggletooth, scary-looking dude who, you know, goes off and shoots some Mexicans himself. And then he gets killed, right? You know, pretty quickly in the very next scene. It's like, I was thinking this guy was going to be set up to be, you know, the right-hand man and be the he was first one to die before the Major.
He was the Ringo, right?
He was Ringo.
Yeah, he was the Ringo.
He was so lazy.
He was Ringo, okay.
He was so freaking lazy when they killed the first Mexicans, the red scarf bandit head honcho. He would let people run a long way and then shot him in the back. And I was impressed. I was like, oh, you know, he's a jerk, but that is pretty impressive. But yeah, the other guy, he was just like, release the Mexican. He's like, bang, immediately, bang.
Dude, they release the Mexican, and before the Mexican has even cleared the area where all his friends are standing, all the shooters' friends are standing, he shoots right into the midst of them three times.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these guys don't even flinch? That's just ridiculous.
Well, that's
you need to watch your background.
That's
mister.
How badass Ringo is.
Django!
All right. Ringo. No, Ringo, not Django. Ringo.
Ringo.
Anyway. Ringo. All right,
you are kind of a douche, Ringo.
You got a big scar on your face.
What's your story, man?
If it has a mastery of this material,
he does.
The music, does. I'm kind of impressed. All right, here's the bad guy, the Major, talking to Django for the first time as well.
The war is over, and these things don't much matter anymore, do they?
I got my own private war going on. I reckon maybe that's a war you haven't heard about. You sure are a smart hombre carrying around your burial suit. I like that.
It's so weird and ethereal.
It's weird dialogue, yeah. Man. It's totally freaky.
I like it. Like, I really had a good time with this. I like this a lot better than the other spaghetti western we tried to watch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is pretty dang good.
Have we only done two? Yeah.
This is our second.
Then third. Isn't that third?
No. You think? Oh, well, no, you're thinking of the
no,
the,
we watched one with smiley face with his teeth.
Yeah,
in his gay weirdness, because that was the second Sergio we watched. What was that one?
That was there's a hole
Duck
in the roof.
Ducky sucker.
Ducky sucker.
Then we watched the first one, which was the hole in the roof. No, it was Ducky sucker. What was it? Yeah, was two.
Ducky sucker just felt like two spaghetti.
Maybe it was two.
I completely agree. Remember that whole split with the war, the Spanish uprising stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, the Spamish. Yeah,
Spamish.
Spamish uprising. Yeah. I heard that.
All right, we have more, and it is in the form of needing a new cemetery, because this is after Django unleashes and kills a whole bunch of the Major's men and the squatty.
Which he enjoyed a lot, by the way.
The squatty whore runner dude. He has questions.
Well, now you won't have to pay for protection anymore, Nathaniel.
You killed them all, didn't you?
No.
Nope, not quite. The Mexicans will still be around. You can go to work now.
Well, I put them. Ain't no room left in the cemetery.
You're going to need a new one, because I've got plenty of customers for you.
Dude, weird. You live out in the middle of a freaking desert. You'll find some place to bury him.
Yeah. You've got a perfectly good quicksand pit.
Right.
That nobody dares go into and get gold out of.
But did you guys like freak out just a little bit when he kind of paused? And he's like, you killed them all. And he goes, no. And I'm like, no, he didn't, because like 30 guys got away.
That's right. We saw like a few of them ducked into the wooden shack at the end of the street.
Yeah. No.
They were setting up one dude, kind of had a weird kind of beard, neck beard kind of thing. He was kind of suave and was hanging around the hookers and stuff. And he was kind of right-hand man to the major. And they kind of set him up. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to him?
He got his ear cut off and shoved in his mouth and then shot.
Oh, that's that guy?
Yeah.
That's the guy.
Same guy.
Oh, brother Jonathan.
I thought he wasn't the preacher Jonathan. When he was... Oh, I thought it was two guys.
No.
Well, shows what I know.
Mm, these taste like peeps.
These taste like...
Wait. Before you shoot me, would you cut off my other ear and let me eat that one too? Sort of last meal request, maybe?
Because I
appreciate it.
That was weird too, because I was like, all right, get out of here. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to shoot you in the back.
I'm going to shoot you anyway. Shoot you with your ear in your mouth as you walk off.
But why couldn't they have just... What I don't understand is, okay, I'm trying to put myself in the boots of director Sergio Bukkake or whatever his name is.
Sergio Bukkake.
Dude.
Well, hold on. Oh, so I'm in,
I don't
I'm in,
think that word means what you think it means.
So I'm with, ooh, I love that movie too. Three Amigos would be fun to watch right now. Anyway, so let's say I'm in his chair and we're doing the ear scene, which Quentin Tarantino said, I stole that because I loved it so much. All right, fine. Yeah. Couldn't he have said, okay, in this scene, you need to act like you do not want to eat the ear. Like it is a terrible thing to put in your mouth.
It's a bad thing.
But he didn't.
He wouldn't have any direction needed for that. But he was enjoying it.
No, like he leaned really into it like, ah, la, la, la. Which is probably why Tarantino liked it. He was probably rubbing his feet while he watched it.
Rubbing his feet.
You know how he is with the feet thing?
Yes. Every movie. It's getting worse, too. Every Tarantino movie, I'm more saddened by his whipping out of somebody's ugly feet.
Yeah. Imagine if he did like Spider-Man or what, like a mainstream like big blockbuster movie. What we'd have with feet. It'd be terrible. Anyway.
Feet instead of Spider-Man coming down and kissing upside down, he like lets his foot down slowly.
That's a great idea. Let's make this happen, Hollywood.
With great power comes a great foot massage.
Right, Kirsten Dunst is peeling off his sock instead of his mask.
Oh, nasty.
Nom, nom.
Oh, that's so nasty. All right.
Water dripping down.
Chick fight time. A prostitute chicks, to be exact. And here it is.
It's because of her. I tell you, she's the one brought this on us. She's the incarnation of sin and evil.
He's absolutely right. It's your fault if we have to get out of here. The men won't come to town anymore, and we'll starve
to death. Oh, you shut up. Why are you trying to blame everything that's happened on poor Maria?
She's right to blame her. She's the cause of all of it, do you hear? She's evil and brings sin and trouble wherever she goes.
And you're a fine one to talk. You ought to be ashamed of yourself dressed up like that and going around with a Bible in your hand.
Well, listen to her, will you? Who do you think you are?
Into the mud.
Angry I swear dubbing. That's Ethel Merman doing the voice of...
I you're swear right? It's the preacher's fault.
Oh, man.
You look nothing. Great. Oh, yeah, dude.
I thought I liked angry acting, but I think angry dubbing is much funnier.
I got me a car. It seats about 20. I always mix those two up.
I've always wondered if, so he wasn't a priest, he was just dressed like one, or he was a priest, he just wasn't acting like one.
I don't think he was a priest, I think he just liked pretending to be a priest. Okay, like you do in World of Warcraft.
Exactly. I would really like to have a priest costume. What do you call that? It's got a name. I'd love to have a priest costume and just go walk around. I'd like to go to the store. You know, with the coffin on. You know what I mean?
And bless you. Bless you. Bless you.
You know,
and also, the Indians are Catholic too, by the way. I don't know what that's all about.
What are you talking
about? The Indian girl kept doing the Catholic.
Oh, right, yeah, right.
Inflecting.
Right, right.
Apparently, all the Italians who constitute the cast of this film don't realize that everyone in the world is not a Roman Catholic.
What, Indians aren't Catholic? What? What? They're it's heathens.
Everyone
what?
Is a Catholic.
Yeah. What do you call that? It's not a cost. It's not a priest costume.
And it's not a habit because that's the nuns. No, version.
Yeah. Well, let's look it up. What do you call a priest costume?
Whatever.
That would kick me. I would be kicked out of the nunnery in 5 minutes. The minute I heard them say, "All right, now in this other room, you get your habit." My what? My freak. I'm going to wear something called a habit.
Clerical clothing, possibly friar monk costumes. Let's see what we got here.
Friar monk costumes. That's the one, Brian. That's
get
the one.
Get this hooked up. I'll wear it. We'll walk around with a camera. See what happens.
All right.
It's called clerical clothing, apparently. Let's see. So I guess that's the kind of what it's called.
All right.
I guess it's really for the Catholics, clerical. That makes sense.
All right. Very nice. Moving on. The Mexicans are coming.
Girls! The Mexicans are coming!
I could have done that myself, but...
It's called a cassock.
Oh, a cassock.
A cassock. A cossack?
Cossack.
Cossack. No, that's a Russian.
Oh, it's a Rico Cassock.
Beretta? What about Beretta? Like they wear...
Are you wearing your Rico Cassock to the wedding, Father?
Will it help me attract gorgeous supermodels?
No. Yeah. Never. I don't think. No.
Never mind.
Father, I have sinned. When? In a minute with you in this little thing.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, this
under
thing,
my robe.
I'm doing this thing.
Scott and I are cross-joking right now. We're at cross purposes on this joke.
That's right. Who's going to win?
That's just the way I like it. All right. Next, I can't even meet. Oh, meet the general that says this to Django. I don't know what it meant. My brain wasn't working
what
night.
What was Django doing here?
I'm English dubbing my names of my files here, obviously. Anyway, it's the Mexican general, who is as Italian as you get. He's freaking Mario in this movie, but hey, he's the Mexican general. Here he is.
Well, look who's here. The fastest growing gringo this side of the border. Hombre, it's been quite a while since I've seen your dirty face. This is Django.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I was just introducing him.
Oh, you cut it off before the rest of his horrible Spanish. His Spanish just made me cringe.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was worse than the guy in DocuSucker. I don't remember who the actor was. Rod Steiger.
Yeah.
Rod Steiger, yeah.
Steiger at least. Yeah, Steiger at least had kind of a weird, I don't know. He made it his own, kind of.
Yeah, this movie actually makes Rod Steiger's performance look like legendary.
Yeah.
It's really improving DocuSucker for me.
Yeah, I was trying to find here it is.
There is a hole in the roof.
That's not bad. That guy's kind of Mexican.
That guy's got a great Mexican accent.
Sure. And there's a hole in the roof. Okay, and now we have Hands on the Bonanza. This is my favorite line in the entire movie, and I want to have it on a t-shirt. Here it is.
I suppose you know what you're talking about.
The major will be stopping at the fort. Then he plans to take all his bullion over the border. That's the reason why I didn't kill him with the others. I'm going to get my hands on that there bonanza.
Yeah. I'm going to get my hands on that there bonanza. Isn't that great?
Because it's better than Sizzler.
Now, bullion, isn't bullion when it's like when gold is formed into those ingots, or is bullion just any collective form of gold?
I
always thought bullion was a specific coinage.
I thought it was pre-processed, like before it was put into bars and stuff, like when it was still in its sugar cereal form, like they were using there.
When it's in its Captain Crunch form.
Right. Like, isn't that what that means?
Oh, but Dunaway had the best joke that it was in little cubes. Oh, that was great.
I didn't buy the gold at all. I felt like the gold was the fakest looking thing in this movie.
I actually thought the gold actually looked authentic. I thought it, because that's how real gold really looks. I thought it was pretty authentic because we usually get the shiny gold bars we see in movies. So I was kind of impressed.
Well, that's true. The idea that it's in dust and stones and stuff like that and rocks and nuggets, that's fine. It just looked like it was made out of something too light.
It was not impressive, no.
Yeah.
It was not.
Like when you dumped that out in the jail or that one storage room or whatever
it
was.
In the dirt? I'm thinking, are you crazy?
I know, that's so dumb. But he's dumping it in the dirt and all I could think of was, oh, it's a big ruse. There was nothing in there but dirt. Like it was just sand. Oh, what's Django going to do now? And then they're all just kind of standing around like it's fine. And I'm thinking, oh, I guess that's the gold.
Yeah.
So
I've been informed that bullion is a word for bulk metal. That's all. Bulk metal. So
precious metal and bulk.
In any sort of form that has not been cast. So I guess it applies.
So my son.
You need to start stuff like that with, this just handed to me.
Yeah.
We have a breaking story. Just a minute, Bob. We've got someone in the field. Yeah, you know what I've noticed? If Nick...
Thanks, Laura Riker. Appreciate it.
Nick just got braces. I can say he has a bullion of braces in his mouth. Is that a fair way of saying that?
No,
that's processed. No. Yeah, that's metal's been formed. I guess raw metal is more like it, I guess.
Right. Well, it just says in bulk. I'm saying...
In bulk?
I'm saying
okay, maybe so. Metal. Yeah. What do we know?
A big stack of braces.
What are we, some kind of bullion experts?
No, apparently not.
No, but I have one here.
All right.
Let me just refer. Yep, that's it. We got it.
Mario, the Mexican general, decides to give Maria to Django. because he feels he owes her, or owns her. Here it is.
Thanks, Django. That's the second time you saved my life, and I won't forget it. Look at Maria. Look at her. She can't take her eyes off you. Take her. She's a present. A night with her and a man forgets all his troubles.
No thanks.
No thanks.
Heard her voice? Already, heard her voice? No thanks.
Already had some of that yesterday.
I think she's a man.
I think she's a man.
Between me and you, Mario, I think she's a man. Take her. Anyway, I love you. I love you, Django, says Maria in this final scene, this final quote. This is a very sad little moment for Django and our girl. Check it out.
With that gold, I can forget I was Django.
Leave all that gold here, Django. It'll bring heartache. What really matters is that we could have a new life.
Kiss me.
And you'll forget what happened here. I love you, Django.
Listen, Maria, love is something I can never feel again. The girl I once loved was killed, and I can never forget that. If I take you with me, then you'll probably get killed, too.
Makes sense.
And I wouldn't want that to happen.
No.
Oh my gosh, he sounds a little bit like Ernest Borgnine there.
A little, sure.
Ew.
Sure. You've missed him since, since what was it called?
Convoy.
Airwolf. Oh,
I thought it was Airwolf. Convoy that we watched on here. Didn't we watch Convoy with him?
We watched Convoy, yeah.
Oh, yeah. With, Ernest Borgnine was the cop, was the sheriff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, you got $50.
Yeah, that's right. One of my favorite Ibbit moments.
Oh, I forgot that. About That's right, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I forgot that.
Well, as you may be able to tell from the time of the show, it's time for our awards. Yay!
Golden Globe nominations just came out a couple days
yes,
ago.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Way to go, soap operas.
Way to go, soap operas. That's true. Because they put everything in there, right?
Yeah.
It's like best movie ever.
No, but they don't. But TV, not enough, though. Like
comedy movie.
Yeah, Golden Globes wants to give tons of awards to TV shows, but they don't want to talk about, you know, music or cinematography or any of the good stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That's too bad. Let's do our Film Sack Awards, though, for this movie. Dude, What Looks Most Like a Slug Award goes to Angel Alvarez as Nathaniel. Slugman.
Sluggy.
The Stares Off into Space Like Starman Award goes to Leonda Dana Nusikak, who played Maria. Do not quote me on this pronunciation of the name. The Hannibal Lecter Cannibalism Award goes to the dude what ate his own ear.
Is it cannibalism if you're eating yourself?
That's a good question. What is that? Is there a term for that? Probably.
Let me look it up.
Yeah, find that and file that next to what do priests wear and what do they call it? The Melting Raiders of Lost Ark Face Bad Special Effect That Still Looks Gross Award.
Oh, well, can we all guess that it's his hands?
Yeah, his hamburger hands were disgusting.
That was neat, though. It was
kind of gross, but still fake as hell. Like, I don't know. It's a weird
strange
mix.
Strange way to punish a man, you know? Like, you don't want to quite kill him, but you want to ruin his every breath.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Right. And then you have the horses, like, so you smash him with the butt of a rifle, and then you have the horses walk on him as you leave.
Yeah, that's the worst. The Darth Maul Dumbest Death Award goes to the dude at the beginning that got shot and jumped into the quicksand.
Jumped into the quicksand. He crawled quickly into the quicksand.
I'm pretty sure I had, let's see, I just want to make sure. Did I have that? I thought I had that sound clip, but I don't. Oh, well. Could have sworn I did. Maybe I did up here. Let me just double check on this. No.
Tip, do not Google cannibalism. Ugh.
Yeah, don't Google image anything.
But yeah, apparently self-cannibalization is about as close as I see, and I think I'm going to harf.
All right, the Eamon Goeth Pick-Off Dudes with Guns Award goes to the Mexican Dude Shootout.
Yes.
You guys remember that from Schindler's List?
Yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
Bonus points, what?
We never mentioned anything about Red Dead Redemption.
What about it?
Red Dead Redemption is like totally taken from this.
Well,
if you've been playing that game this year, this movie makes a lot more sense. Like this movie really fits with the whole both sides of the river mentality and the Mexicans and the Anglos and you're from the north, blah blah blah. That's like pretty much spot on that game.
There's a character in Red Dead Revolver that actually carries around the coffin.
Oh really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well,
and And what's the big first act mission in Red Dead Redemption? Building a machine gun so you can kill a bunch of guys.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, spaghetti westerns are definitely... I mean, the music in that game, totally spaghetti western. Yeah. So, yeah.
Except for Elvis.
Or whoever.
And some of us might have been planning to mention Red Dead Redemption in their Twitter post.
Oh, right. Yeah, all right. Well, just forget all that.
We should just...
Can you... We edit, bleed all that.
Yeah, we should all just shut up. Movie gets bonus points.
We were just talking about Star Wars Galaxies.
Yep. Movie gets bonus points for prostitute fight in the mud and gets a soundtrack grade of A for awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was pretty decent in moments where it needed to be cinematic. It was all right. It wasn't as bad as you would have thought.
No. I enjoyed us talking about it, but if I just watched this by myself and didn't have anybody to talk to about with it, I'd be pretty pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. So that's our awards this week. We love doing these awards. Congratulations to Django for being a movie that is good and bad at the same time.
Wow.
Sorry, I wanted to do a little ending there.
Good
and it got,
enough.
Got really loud, didn't it?
It? A little bit.
Yeah.
Just a really. Touch.
Wow.
Makes me want to eat my own ear.
Good, because now it's time for you to talk by writing, so you don't have to hear anything. It's the Twitter post time. This is 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy. Randy, how would you sum this film up?
Django is a man unclean. Django looks like Michael Biehn. Django always looks serene. Django on the silver screen.
Wow.
Very nicely done.
I'm not going to make you have all the E's it takes to drag out the word screen that would kill your Twitter post. That was great. Man, we got to do more singing ones. Sheesh. Nice work. Where do we go from here? I know where we go. Brian Ibbett. Brian Ibbett, sum it up.
Django, Red Dead Rigatoni.
See, it was still good.
Awesome.
It was good.
Awesome. Oh, Red Dead Rigatoni.
Perfect pasta.
Yeah.
For that. Of all the pastas you could have picked, you picked the right one.
Rigatoni. Well, I needed one that began with an R, and I was kind of inspired by his hands near the end of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
So gross. Dunaway, how do you do it?
Red Dead Ravioli. Damn, he's already took. Okay. yep. Django is the movie about Django, who may or may not be in the coffin. Django. D-J-A-N-G-O. Django.
Don't do Django.
What's the fuck?
I wish his name was Jenga. That'd be great.
Jenga. Would be perfect.
Oh, wait. Did you all have that moment in the movie where you called out, "What's in the box?"
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
What's in the box?
I did. My wife said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Don't worry about it." Hey, I also learned a few things while you were dragging your gun coffin all over Mudville.
Mm.
All evil Mexicans should look like Chi-Chi's mariachi bands.
Oh, true.
In my happy little world, all Italian directors are named Sergio. Always shoot the major when you have the chance. Seriously, shoot the major.
Yeah, yeah. Major. What was it, Anderson? I finally figured it out. Major Jackson.
Major Jackson. Yeah.
Major Jackson. Yeah, I mean, if you got him right there, why talk smack talk when all I got to do is kill him?
Yep.
He might be useful later on.
That's right.
Yeah.
But how was he?
useful for killing your friends.
Exactly.
That wasn't useful at all. He wanted the goal, but you could have done another way. If you ever need good cover, I recommend a huge tree trunk that looks like a giant dinosaur bone.
Really? I thought she was going to go for the good cover is a skinny, small tombstone cross.
Oh, that works too.
Yeah, that's good too.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, how many bullets had to hit that thing? It was amazing.
They were pretty good shots if they were trying to shoot that metal cross. Yeah, cross.
If you're trying to shoot the tombstone, doing good.
Hey, that leads into my next lesson pretty well. The movie should have been called Painful Cemetery Pistol Wrestling.
Oh, man.
With Jenga.
That scene went on forever, too, man. Yeah,
and we didn't even really talk about how you're able to remove the finger guard on a gun with your teeth.
Yeah.
Well, you unscrew the screw. That's what he was doing. He was actually rotating the screw off that was holding it on.
Oh, is that what he was doing with his teeth?
Yeah.
I couldn't help but think of that in, like, hiker trapped under a boulder in Utah. Like, you know, same sort of desperation there.
Oh, that 127 hours guy.
127 hours?
Yeah. Yes. I hear that movie's really good, by the way.
Golden Globe nomination.
Good. It's nice to see the son of the goblin getting some recognition for his work. Those Mexican, and finally, those Mexicans look awfully Italian to me, and that's what we learned. You're dragging around your stupid gun. Got an email from a listener this week, a little bit unrelated to Django, but this person, who's named Brian and lives in Orem, Utah, Utah connection, says, "Hi, I found the scream from the Scorpio getting stabbed similar to when R2-D2 gets shot out of the X-Wing. Thanks, Ryan." Mm.
Totally.
He makes a pretty good point.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice job. We have great listeners who are smart. Oh, at the end he says, P.S. Sorry, I'm not from Wales. We don't favor people from Wales, do we?
No. We said we wanted to hear from somebody.
And I want him to send in a recorded comment. Send us a memo from your iPhone. From Wales.
Got it. Well, there you go. Thank you, Ryan, not from Wales, but instead from Orem, Utah. That's where my mom lives. So say hi when you see her at the mall. Not that she goes there. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. That is a whole episode of this show. We do have a couple of quotes from Scott Fletcher. Actually, I guess we have one, and I'm going to play it now. Here it is. Scott Fletcher, his take on this film.
I'm glad I made you feel like a real woman. Very glad. I mean that.
Yeah. Wasn't that right before he closed the deal? Pretty sure.
I love that. It is. Yeah. And he walked over, pulled her shirt off.
I mean, the thing that people should know about this movie, there's a lot of abuse of women in a weird way. Mm-hmm. But none of it's super graphic. It's just kind of, you know, chicks.
Implied.
Yeah.
Mostly.
It's all implied. It's all imagination stuff. So enjoy.
No boobies. Yeah.
No boobies in this movie. Absolutely not.
No.
But there may be in the next one. You'll have to tune in and see. That's going to be the movie Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing.
That is our.
You're a thing living in a swamp. I'm saying we could do this for every movie.
I'm saying you're right.
I think we should. That's right. We could.
I'm saying you're right. That is our Christmas weekend episode. So look forward to that. That's coming up next week. Until then, go visit the site. filmsack.com. Email us filmsack@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/filmsack. Reviews on iTunes wouldn't hurt either. People, go over there, leave us a nice review. We love those. I think that's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy, have a wonderful week.
What's in the coffin?
And then you'll do a voice. Oh, yeah, I really like this movie.
This is a pretty good movie.
Here's my Twitter post.
Yeah, I'm playing with my Swamp Thing. What are you guys doing? Django. Don't sing yet.
Django.
You can't blow that yet because that's some good stuff right there.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.